Ringy dingy ding. And welcome to Astro Talk with yours truly, the Star Guy. Well, when I say ringy dingy ding, I mean put your feet on the floor, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for response. Response is conscious action. Reaction, predictable, unconscious. Put your feet on the floor, turn the light bulb on in the attic of your subconscious, and listen to me. Well, it is Sunday, isn't it? And it is the 24th of November. Ringy dingy ding. Let's see here. We're into 2 degrees now of Sagittarius. Happy birthday, all of you Sagittarians. You're listening to KSKQ 89.5 FM in Ashland, Oregon. We are not just the voice in your head, but we're also the voice in your heart. Well, we are just a week or two of very close to having our new antenna delivered and erected. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this will put us in a new category. This ought to marry us to you, our constituents, because we will now be broadcasting at 560 watts as opposed to 13 measly watts. You will not ever experience our fading out again as you drive past the manor in Medford. You will hear us in Jacksonville. You will hear us in Gold Hill. You will hear us south of here in Redding. You will hear us all around the valley, because we are given the authority of wattage, ladies and gentlemen. And this is due to your generosity, because we do this for love, ladies and gentlemen. We depend on your dollars and your monies to support us. We have no other source of income, no other source of keeping this radio station alive with lights, with action, and with yours truly, one of many producers. We also depend on the generosity of our underwriters, of which we have many. Resource Unlimited is pleased to be an underwriter of KSKQ 89.5 FM in Ashland, Oregon. The 2014 Ashland calendars are here. They're printed on recycled paper with soy-based ink and available online at Ashland Calendar, one word, ashlandcalendar.com, or throughout Ashland at KSKQ Radio and other retail outlets. Proceeds donated to local Southern Oregon nonprofits. KSKQ thanks Resource Unlimited and listeners like you for supporting community radio. Now, you can pick up your calendar at KSKQ. But where are we? Well, we are at 330 East Hersey Street, Suite 2, right here in Ashland. You can also donate money right here in our office at our studio. You can reach us at 541-324-39. Oh, wait a minute. That's my phone number. You can also reach us right here at 541-482-3999. That's our number. Hard to forget. I invite you to call, ladies and gentlemen. I invite a dialogue with you who are listening. Otherwise, brace yourself for another monologue. Today, ladies and gentlemen, the topic of our show will be based on the natal chart of Lee Harvey Oswald. Very significant chart. It tells the story of the man he was, the fanatic, the orphan, the fatherless, incomplete ego that he was, his relationship to his mother, and we'll delineate that in a moment. We'll compare it to the transit chart of 11/22/1963 at 1 p.m., where lots of significators are snapping. All right, but first, let's look at today's astrological weather report, shall we? As I said before, the sun is at 2 degrees Sagittarius. Happy birthday, you Sagittarians. The arrow points to the far horizon. The centaur, which represents Sagittarius, is beast from navel down and developed intellect from navel up. He shoots his arrow into the future, looking to expand, as represented by his planet, Jupiter, the planet of expansion. He looks to expand in the ninth house manner, the house that it rules, the belief system, higher education, international travel, international association, justice, publishing, etc., etc. So, that's the sign that we are in now as Thanksgiving approaches and as the world in this hemisphere begins to go dormant. Ladies and gentlemen, we've just transited out of the tilling period of Scorpio, and now what was begins to sleep and begins to dream of what may be the next time we awake on the imbolc between the spring equinox and the winter solstice, the midpoint, February 2nd, when the spark goes off to unfurl the DNA of the next cycle of culmination. So, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Hang on to your hats. The moon is at 19 degrees Leo, and it is squaring off to Saturn, which is conjunct Mercury, at 16 and 14 degrees Scorpio. The moon square Saturn, the intuitive impulse at cross purpose with fanatic realism. It can create in a birth chart a sense of insecurity, and oftentimes, depending on the house, a conflict between mother and child, the conflict between two entities. It can create and delineate such an insecurity. Let's see here. Also with that square to Mercury, we can have the cross-purpose conflict between the moon, the intuition, and Mercury, the intellect, thinking. The process of intellect may drive in a cross-purpose to the intuition. So the intuition may come up as true, but as soon as the intellect is applied, intuition goes out the window. It might as well be fantasy. So then let's see. Venus is in conjunction with Pluto. Though it is past Pluto, it's been in conjunction for a week or so. It is at 16 degrees, 6 degrees beyond the partile conjunction with Pluto. Fanaticism in love, ladies and gentlemen, if you were born with this particular juxtaposition. This opposes Jupiter, our ruling planet of this month, which is in the moon sign of Cancer at 20 degrees. This can represent a person as we as we teeter-totter between the eighth house and the second house, it can represent the fluctuation of monies from other people versus personal resource. It brings a sense of luck to this individual, to this person. It brings a sense of fortune, gambling, good luck in gambling. But as easy come, so easy goes. And so this is what this particular individual would experience as a lesson through its lifetime. Mars is at 23 degrees, Virgo. Yes, we've been there before. A very diligent juxtaposition in the horoscope. The signature of the craftsman, Mars, in Virgo. Oh, let's see. Uranus is at 8 degrees, Aries. And Neptune is at 2 degrees in its own sign of Pisces. This today is a square between Neptune and the Sun, just like in Lee Harvey Oswald's chart, which we will go over in a minute. This is the cross purpose of one's will, one's conscious perception of the world, versus one's intuitive perception of the world, the spirit. Spirit versus will. And so this can create a conflict between one's ego and one's spirit. After all, the ego is the ambassador for the soul, and this would put a challenge into that particular relationship between ambassador and soul. Oftentimes, with this type of a juxtaposition, as we will see with Lee Harvey Oswald, there is a paucity of authority, a paucity of father figure. And that rings more true than not when I'm reading a natal chart. It may not mean the absolute absence of the father, but it could mean the psychic absence of the father. Or it could mean he could be there, but not there. Maybe he's, as Neptune seems to indicate, spends a lot of time in a fantasy world, perhaps induced by inebriation. So then, that is the transit chart of the day. How does it relate to your chart? You can post your queries at www.solunarising.com. That's my website, and I will answer your questions personally, should you go to that site and knock on my virtual door, as it were. Now then, let's get on, shall we, to the most famous rogue of the century, Mr. Lee Harvey Oswald, ladies and gentlemen. Well, in Lee Harvey Oswald's chart, he was born October 18th, 1939, at 9:55 p.m. in New Orleans, Louisiana. His sun is in 24 degrees Libra. His rising sign is 8 degrees Cancer. So the moon will rule this chart. And his persona will be one that will announce and reflect a sense of patriotism, as Cancer so often represents, especially here in the United States, where the Sibley chart has our sun sign in Cancer. An observation of great note in this chart is that the 24 degrees moon in Libra is 5 degrees away from the North Node. This indicates an eclipse, a solar eclipse nearby. It puts an emphasis on that person's perception of the world, on that person's ego, on that person's need for foisting his will onto the people. In fact, the eclipse was the 12th of October in 1939, and he was born on the 18th. His sun is quincunxed, or 30 degrees exactly partile. That means exactly, from Neptune. But that makes a relationship between Neptune, that dynamic which dissolves everything it touches, like water and fog does, bringing whatever it touches into a solution, into a solutio, into the soup. Neptune is in Virgo in this chart. But that relationship between the sun and Neptune wants to represent some issue with the ego development from the Freudian sense, or relationship with influence of the father. But even more than that is that Neptune is on the cusp of the fourth house. The fourth house, in most cases, represents the father in astrology. The tenth house, the mother. Well, Neptune touches on the fourth house of the father. And why the fourth house, the father? The fourth house ruled by the moon, one might think that's the mother. But in fact, the fourth house is that which provides comfort, that which provides security, that which fills the pantries. And often, father is off to work. The opposite, tenth house, is the house ruled by Capricorn, the house of authority. And isn't it the mother who usually indoctrinates us with authority? This sun sign in Libra is in opposition to Saturn at 28 degrees Aries. This signature, this opposition, can lend one a sense of fanaticism. Saturn is adamant. And when it is in the fire sign of Aries, it tends to be a radical. Adamant in its radicalness. The Libra is the sign of balance, so his perception of the world, his ego, wants to bring balance. And perhaps that's how he looked at it when he started reading the Das Kapital, the Marxist manifesto. Perhaps he was looking for a way to balance relationships between person and country. And the opposite sign over there, which puts tension into this need to balance, is the initiation represented by Aries with Saturn in Aries, opposite to his sun sign, and involved also by degree in the nearby eclipse. It's going to give a real emphasis to the effects of an eclipse in the rhyme cycle of one's chart delineation. Now, the moon in this chart is important because it rules his rising sign, and it's in the seventh house of partnership, the seventh house ruled by Libra, naturally, and it wants to balance. It's in Capricorn, which is another indication that the father was that the father may have been not an influence The Capricorn moon is often one that is more in body and less in feeling. It is less in the natural intuition of the moon, of the moon sign. And it is going to be devoted more toward that which is real, that which is tangible. Love is not tangible to a person with a Capricorn moon plus fricative aspects between other planets. Not every Capricorn moon is, this is how I describe it. But he has got opposition to his ascendant. He's got that Saturn in his 10th house as an emphasis on authority. And that goes back to his moon, which is in Capricorn. And these two are practically square to each other, and I'm going to give them their square, even though they are, they're about 13 degrees apart. But by sign, they are in square. Now, we know that Lee Harvey Oswald's father died before Lee Harvey Oswald was ever born. We know that as the square between Saturn and the moon in my notes represent a lack of bonding between baby and mother. We know that he spent some time in an orphanage when his father died and he was born. That is, Lee Harvey Oswald was born. His mother sent his two older brothers off to an orphanage. She tried to raise Lee Harvey by herself. After a while, she wound up sending him to an orphanage. Now, when we come to a Saturn square to a moon dynamic, we find karmic and unresolved issues. Lee Harvey Oswald's mother also grew up in an orphanage, and so these issues are passed down. We can see that the moon represents the past, and the moon represents the mother, and the moon represents our nurturing as babies before the so-called anal phase of Freud's of studies. And so in the infant stage, when we are most likely to build a sense of security, there was a lack here. And it was a lack. If we were to look at his mother's chart, we would find probably the same signature in one way or the other between the moon and Saturn. These are unresolved issues which must be resolved with consciousness in this lifetime. Now, on the day of the assassination, on the day of the assassination, the sun was at 29 degrees Scorpio, the sign which rules the 8th house of death and birth and regeneration. In the 9th house of expanded knowledge, expanded belief, Neptune, which plays a large role in his natal chart, is on the cusp of the 9th house. So his belief system on this day was in a fog. It had come to somewhat of a culmination, for he had been practicing Marxism since he was 15 years old. But here on this day, Neptune, which oftentimes represents the ideal or brings to our surface a need for ideal, came into the 9th house of public image. It came into the 9th house of expanded belief system. But from the beginning, with his lack of individuation, which is the lack of ego development by lack of the father, by lack of father figure at age 2 and 2.5, it brought the culmination of confusion and fog in Solutio into the ninth house where his son is in this chart of November 22nd, 1963 at 1 p.m. Dallas, Texas. Venus and Mars are in conjunction with each other in the 10th house. This is the house of the authority, the king. This is Venus and Mars in the 10th house in the sign of Sagittarius, which rules the 9th house where the sun is and where Neptune is. And so it's all coming to a culmination at the midheaven here. The moon and Saturn in this chart are in conjunction. This brings up from the very depths, it brings up the topic of and the expression of fanaticism. You will also notice that the moon on this day was in conjunction with his natal Mars, triggering off his need for security, his fanaticism, triggering off onto that Mars, which represents the gun, which represents the trigger. And this all happens in his seventh house. This is the house of partnership, his partnership with the citizens of the United States, with his partnership with his ideal of the United States. This is the chart of a fanatic, a chart of an unindividuated fanatic, one whose ego lacks